This is the Engaged as Fuck Podcast.
Our life is dope and we do dope shit.
Welcome to the show.
This is our podcast song.
The Engaged as Fuck Podcast.
Buckle up, buttercup.
All right, listen up, because we're not messing around today. We're diving headfirst into this spot in Colorado Springs called Cork and Cask.
Yeah.
We've got their website. They're our story, which honestly already sounds like it's got some bite and, you know, some snippets from local reviews, Denver Eater, UCCS Scribe, The Gazette.
Mm-hmm. Usual suspects.
And our mission. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Figure out if this upscale wine and whiskey joint is actually far from traditional, like they claim. Or is it just, you know, another place trying too damn hard?
Bite is right. They do lay it on thick, don't they? Upscale this. Far from traditional that.
Totally.
So, yeah, our job is basically to cut through the BS and see what's really going on. Is it just fancy drinks, big price tag? Or is there something, like, genuinely different there? Let's get into it.
Damn straight. No time for swath. We're going straight for the jugular on this one.
Yeah.
So, first things first. Location, location, goddamn location.
Always key.
They're not in some, like, basic strip mall. Nope. They picked an antique trolley warehouse in the southern part of downtown Colorado Springs.
See, already that's interesting. An antique trolley warehouse?
Right.
That kind of screams history, maybe some grit. It's not sterile. They're definitely playing with that contrast, putting this supposedly refined experience in a raw, industrial-ish setting.
Exactly. So you walk in expecting, I don't know, smooth jazz and minimalist crap, and you get echoes of old trolley cars.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe.
It's like showing up to a black tie thing in ripped jeans. It makes a statement, right? So why this place? What the hell does a trolley warehouse say about a bar trying to sell you pricey wine?
Well, it suggests they're not afraid to be different, maybe, that they value character over, you know, just being blandly upscale.
That's
a conversation starter right off the bat. You've got a sense of place, something authentic, maybe. It hints that the whole far from traditional thing isn't just marketing crap, hopefully.
Okay. Okay. I'm digging the potential for some actual grit under all the gloss. Now, let's talk ambiance. What are the critics saying it looks like inside this trolley warehouse?
Right. The descriptions are kind of wild.
Denver Eater calls it a posh lounge. Okay, predictable enough. Velvet high-back chairs, chandeliers, some surreal paintings by Phil Lear, and a commanding granite bar. Sounds fancy AF.
Fancy, sure, but then the UCCS scribe throws this curveball. They talk about dark burgundy-colored walls, ornate velvet furniture, marble tabletops, and, yeah, shimmering crystal chandeliers.
Mm-hmm.
But then they say it feels like you've stepped into a vampire's castle.
Wait, what? A vampire's castle for happy hour?
I know, right? That's a choice.
What the actual hell? Okay, that's not your usual upscale.
Yeah.
Suddenly, far from traditional, feels like it might be underselling it.
And the Gazette jumped in, too, comparing it to the television set of The Addams Family.
Get out. Addams Family.
Yep. Huge chandeliers again, plush velvet everywhere, that big bar everyone mentions. So yeah, it's opulent, but definitely with this dark, maybe slightly spooky twist.
So we've got posh, smashing into Vampire's Castle and the Addams Family.
Pretty much. It's not just luxurious. It's got this like theatrical, almost gothic vibe. It's deliberate. It's definitely not your basic beige bullshit.
Hell no. This sounds like the kind of place where you half expect the bartender to have fangs.
Huh. Maybe they do.
It totally flips the script on upscale. You're not picturing some bright, airy, soulless box. This sounds like somewhere you'd sip a really dark red wine and, I don't know, plot world domination.
Or just enjoy a good drink, hopefully.
So does this dark, dramatic vibe carry over to the menu? Let's look at the food and booze.
Well, even their happy hours suggest they're not completely detached from reality. You know, $1 off F, all wine by the glass, draft beer, and, well, drinks.
Okay. Standard enough.
And 25% off F shared plates. So it's like a little taste of the high life without needing a second mortgage. That accessibility matter.
Damn right. Not totally exclusive. Then you get to the food. And okay, they've got a local Bavarian pretzel.
A pretzel.
Yeah. In the Vampire Castle. I'm strangely into it. It's unexpected, right?
Yeah.
A bit down to earth in this like super over the top setting. Maybe that's part of the spice they were talking.
Exactly. It's those little jolts, the things that don't quite fit the posh mold that make it interesting.
Yeah.
Then there's the double egg flight with three seasonal flavors of filling. Okay. Elevated deviled eggs. That's kind of.
That was our show.
Our life is dope and we do dope shit.
The Engaged as Fuck Podcast. The song is over.
Buckle up, buttercup.
Hope you liked it.
Hope you liked
the Engaged As Fuck podcast.
Fun, a bit quirky. Shows they don't take everything deadly seriously.
Definitely more interesting than, like, a sad little bowl of olives. They do have the brie fondue and the cheese board, more predictable, upscale stuff.
These are classics.
But even the cheese board mentions a seasonal selection, so maybe they're actually putting thought into it.
Yeah.
And the dessert board, tiramisu, okay, but also seasonal pétifors, those little fancy pastries. Again, a nod to something a bit more special than just cheesecake.
All right, let's get to the important part. The drinks, the cocktails. This is where they seem to really lean into the far from traditional idea.
Okay, hit me.
The Arsenal Mule uses Family Jones gin, pear liqueur, and get this, white balsamic agave.
White balsamic in a mule.
Yeah. Different, right. Adds that sweetness, but with maybe a little tang, not your standard ginger beer balm.
Okay.
Roses for me. Roku gin, champagne, prickly pear puree, rose water, lemon.
Whoa. Prickly pear and rose water? That sounds floral. Mm. Maybe a little dangerous, like something Morticia Adams would drink.
Precisely. And then there's a black walnut, old-fashioned, pre-prohibition style, rye, all spice dram, but with black walnut bitters.
Ooh, black walnut. That adds a nice kind of earthy depth. So it respects tradition, but gives it a little twist.
Exactly. Familiar, but just a bit more. And the south side, Corazon tequila, St. Elder blood orange, fruitful smoked jalapeno liqueur, guava, lime.
Smoked jalapeno liqueur? Yeah. Okay, now they're just showing off.
Right. That's got some balls. Tequila, smoke, spice, fruit. It's like they're saying, yeah, we're fancy, but we also know how to throw a punch.
I like it. No shrinking violets here.
And this all leads to their big boast, right? A wall full of the best whiskey in the Springs. They say 210 whiskeys.
210. Damn.
Yeah, and a specific rare whiskey selection. So that's clearly the core of their upscale identity, the serious collector stuff.
Right.
But even that serious whiskey collection is sitting inside this, like, theatrical, gothic light, unconventional place. It's kind of the best of both worlds if you appreciate quality but hate boring.
Okay, so let's nail this down.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that spice your nights have been needing, as they put it, actually come from? It's not just the booze, right? It's the whole damn package.
Absolutely. I mean, it has to be. It's the unexpected location, right? The trolley warehouse.
Yep.
It's the super dramatic decor, the velvet, the chandeliers, the Adams family vibe. It's the menu mixing high-end stuff with, like, a pretzel and fancy deviled eggs.
And the cocktails that aren't afraid to get weird.
Exactly. They've clearly tried to create an experience, not just, you know, another bar.
And they're open 7 days a week, starting at 3 p.m. with that happy hour on weekdays. So it's luxurious, yeah, but it doesn't feel totally unobtainable. It doesn't feel like you need a membership or a secret password.
Right. They seem to want people in those velvet chairs browsing that massive drink list, whether you're going for the full vampire vibe or you just appreciate a really well-made old-fashioned.
Yeah, it feels like they're offering different ways to enjoy the space, too.
Yeah.
You can be all dramatic inside, or they mentioned patio fire pits, enjoy the Colorado scenery.
It's upscale, but it feels like it's on their own kind of rebellious terms.
All right, so bottom line, cork and cask doesn't sound like your grandma's idea of a fancy night out. Unless your grandma is Morticia Adams.
Yeah, exactly.
They've carved out this seriously unique niche, right? Throwing history together with dark opulence, a killer drink list with a menu that kind of winks at you. The whole vibe is luxurious, but crucially, doesn't seem to take itself too goddamn seriously.
Yeah, they're basically giving the finger to the typical stuffy, boring upscale scene.
Couldn't have said it better. It's an invitation to indulge, maybe get a little fancy, but without the pressure to be perfect or fit some tired old mold. It's luxury for people who actually have a personality.
Luxury with an edge.
So for you listening, you badass types who aren't afraid to live life your own way if you were in Colorado Springs, does this sound like your kind of place? Would this weird mix of history, dark luxury, and unexpected spice actually pull you in?
Yeah. What gets you first? Is it the Vampire's Castle thing?
Or maybe just the promise of 210 whiskeys. Or maybe you're just thinking, damn, I really want that deviled egg flight.
Ah, could be.
Think about it. What part of that strange, spicy mix calls to you? Until next time, stay real. Keep digging deep.